Thanks for taking the time to listen to this weekly sermon from Southside Baptist Church in Florence, South Carolina. Our vision is to know Him and to make Him known. Please visit our website at southsidenow.church so you can find out more about how we are helping to make and grow disciples in the Florence area. For now, sit back and take in today's message from God's Word.
All right, let's give applause to our Lord. How great He is. Amen. Now, some of you guests here this morning are like, isn't that, that's the Family Matters theme song, isn't it? Isn't that the one with Earth? Yes, it is. It is. And I know what some of you want to say, because they wanted to say it last week. Did I do that? Did I do that? Yeah. Well, family matters. It does matter, doesn't it? On this day in which we're dedicating babies and moms and dads who love their children, and especially today as we're honoring mothers, you matter. Amen. And in this family series in which we're doing mothers, we can't do it without you. I tell you, I can't do it without my wife. Without my wife, the house would be a mess. Without my wife, the children would be a mess. Without my wife, there's a lot of things that would be simply a mess, right? I would be a mess. And so I'm so thankful for my wife. I love her and thank God for her. And so thank the good Lord for her. I heard about a beautiful princess that encountered a frog in a pond. The frog spoke to the princess and said, "I used to be a handsome prince until someone put an evil spell on me. If you kiss me on the nose, I will become a prince again. And then we can be married, move into my mother's castle. And you can clean the castle, bear children, cook the meals, and live happily ever after with your handsome prince." And that night, the princess had frog legs for dinner. But happy Mother's Day to you mothers. And I feel that on Mother's Day, while about mothers, it's really a great day to remember the importance of all the ladies in our lives and the joy and the happiness in which they bring. There are things that mothers and ladies deal with that we don't deal with as husbands and as men, such as this, for example. There's oftentimes, here's some of the things that children ask their mother: "Mom, where's the towel? Mom, what are we eating for dinner? Mom, what time is it? Mom, where's my phone? Mom, come here. Mom, what day is it? Mom," things you ask your dad, "where's mom?" It's true. You know it's true. On Facebook, I asked moms, "What are three things in which you need the most?" Number three was someone to fold laundry. And your mom's like, "Amen, preacher." Like, if someone can invite someone to fold laundry. So, besides my house, what if your house, if that's the greatest Mother's Day gift you could give your wife today, was folding laundry? Notice I did not include myself at all in that category. I got very quiet in here. I better move on from that. Here's number two, was a maid. Number one, it actually surprised me a little bit, but I get it. You mothers work hard. Was sleep. Maybe the best thing you can give your wife or your mom today is that you give her time to take a nap. All the ladies said what? Amen. Amen. See, guys, I'm trying to help you out here a little bit. There was one gentleman named Mitch. I won't use his last name to protect his identity. But he wrote, quote unquote, "Call me crazy, but coming from a sensitive male, I would have guessed a new vacuum, apron, and lawnmower." Can you believe that guy? I won't mention his last name. I don't want to embarrass his kids, but I love you, Mitch. Another person named Pam. There were kind of a couple of different Pams. You can try to guess. And this one surprised me a little bit. It actually made me laugh out loud. Was silence, silence, silence. If you know this Pam, you would realize that she's not silence, silence, silence. So I love her humor. So she always mixes things up. But the Bible tells us that every good and perfect gift is from above, isn't it? It is. And mamas, you're a gift. You're a gift. Our wives and mothers are a gift from God. William Golding said this, quote, "Whatever you give a woman, she will make greater. If you give her sperm, she will give you a baby. If you give her a house, she'll give you a home. If you give her groceries, she'll give you a meal. If you give her a smile, she'll give you her heart. She multiplies and makes better whatever is given to her. Ladies, God created and designed you. He knows what will bring you fulfillment in your life, and ultimately it's the Lord, amen? But He designed you. Listen, He designed men to be men. He designed women to be women. It's not that one is better than the other, but God designed us uniquely, us, didn't He? He did. And God loves you just the way in which He designed you and how He wired you. And I'm glad there's things my wife is much better at than I am. Some of you would not want me to bake cakes for you. My wife loves to bake cakes. I had someone ask me this week, how are you not like 500 pounds? Your wife makes some good cakes. Anyway, but I want us to turn to Proverbs chapter 31. And you're probably familiar with Proverbs 31. It's about the virtuous woman. It's about a woman who is someone that can be a role model to ladies today. Now keep in mind, this proverb wasn't written to make you feel guilty or to place unrealistic expectations upon you. It was written to build you up. It was written to show your God-given potential. And so in verse 1, what we're going to see is godly mothers give godly advice. They give biblical advice. And this is what it reads. The sayings of King Lemuel. Contained in this message, which his mother taught him. So we're hearing from a king. This is what my mama told me. This is what my mama taught me, right? And this is what he writes. My son, O my son of my womb, O son of my vows. Now, I'm reading out the NLT this morning, but in the New King James Version, it reads a little bit better, I think. It's what it reads in the New King James. What? My son. What? Son of my womb, and what son of my vows? You ever have your mama go, what are you doing? What? Anyone? Right? Or maybe it's your wife. What? And so he obviously finally listened because it took three whats. And so there's something that she is trying to get across to him here. Now, history doesn't tell us much about this king, but we do know this. He had a godly mother. And this is how it starts off. So going on verse 3, do not waste your strength on women, on those who ruin kings. Now she's not saying don't get married. She's not saying don't find a good woman. She's not saying that. But she's talking about be careful who you marry. For it is not for kings, O Lemuel, to guzzle wine. Rulers should not crave alcohol. For if they drink and they forget the law and not give justice to the oppressed. Alcohol is for the dying, and wine is for those in bitter distress. Let them drink to forget their poverty and remember their troubles no more. Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. Ensure justice for those being crushed. Yes, speak up for the poor and the helpless and see that they get justice. And so this mama had taught him, this king here was number one, be careful who you marry. And I tell you, that's some great advice. Now, I realize some of you are young this morning. You're not married. Maybe you're dating. And you may not always want to hear from your parents or grandparents advice on dating. But I want to encourage you to do something. Listen. I'm not saying to listen to everything they say. And I get it. Sometimes it can be just, you know, heads are just butting in that relationship. I can get that sometimes. But listen to your mama. Listen to your mother and the advice in which they give you about who to marry. One thing the Bible gives us is that Christians should marry Christians. And listen, you eventually will marry who you date. And so if you date believers who love Jesus Christ, you're going to marry a man or a woman who loves God, who puts the Lord first. Find someone who loves God more than you. Amen? Find someone who loves the Lord more than you. And puts you second. Because if you do that, you will find someone, gentlemen, you'll find a woman who is virtuous. You will find someone who wants to follow God and wants to put Him first in all things. Because listen, marriage is tough, isn't it? Even with both believers, marriage is tough. God needs to be first. The relationship with Jesus needs to be first. Because without Him, It's tough. It makes it tough. You need him in your marriage. You need him to help you. Let me give you a piece of advice as well when it comes to marriage. You can never change your spouse. You can't. If you marry your spouse thinking you're going to change them, you're going to have a marriage that's going to be very disappointing. But what you can do is this, is you can make sure you are the right kind of spouse. Amen? You can be the right kind of spouse in which God has called you to be. And then you hand them over and let God deal with their heart. And let God change them. Because if you try to change them, it ain't going to happen. It's not going to work. But if you hand them over to the Lord and let God do a work upon them, they will. And so she has given him this advice. Don't waste your time and strength on those who have no interest in following the Lord. Don't waste your strength and your time on them. I think that's some good advice. Listen, teens, young adults, if you claim to know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have no business dating someone who is not faithful in church. You don't. If you want to argue with God about it, you can argue with God. But that's the word says, don't be unequally yoked. Don't do it. Here's the second thing she gives him as advice. Drinking can cloud your judgment and leadership. Why would a leader drink? Why would this king drink? She knew the stress and the anxiety that would come with being a leader. And listen, in some form or capacity, all of us are leaders. Men, fathers, you're called to lead your home, not your wife. You're called to lead. Be the man. Be the leader. And some ladies have had to step up into that leadership role because you haven't been the man that God has called you to be. And so you need to step into that leadership role. It may take some time. It may take some time for you to earn that trust back, to give that allowance to be that leader in your home because of what you created. But you can, with God's help, and focusing not on changing your spouse, but on being the right kind of spouse. And with God's help, you can be that man. You can be that woman. A marriage and leading is much like being in a car. You have the driver's seat and you have the passengers. Men, God has called you to be the driver. But unfortunately, sometimes in our society today, men have gotten out of that driver's seat and they go to the back seat, or they switch with their wife and the wife has no choice but to jump in the driver's seat and do the driving, because if not, the whole family is going to crash. So men, get in the driver's seat. Don't be lazy and hand that off to her. You're putting more stress and anxiety on her that she was not built and designed for. You be the man of God, which God's called you to be. But she's talking about alcohol here. She's talking about, listen, if your reason is a drink is because of the stress and anxiety you have, listen, hear me clearly. That is not a good reason to drink. You're saying that, Jesus, you're not enough to bring my problems and my issues to. Therefore, I need to turn to alcohol, or I need to turn to this because, God, I can't bring my anxieties and my worries to you. And you're depending upon something in which you were not meant to depend upon. But you were called to depend upon the Lord. Alcohol clouds our judgment. It can lead us to make poor decisions. Alcohol can do that. You and your family may end up being Clemson fans, if that's the case. Got to be careful. I'm just having a little fun this morning. But it's a serious subject, isn't it? It is. My wife and I do not drink. I'm not preaching on alcohol today. That's a different message for a different time. But I've seen what it can do to a family. I've seen what it did to my grandparents. I've seen what it did to my wife's family. So we chose not to drink in our house because we don't want to go down that slippery slope for us. Here's the other thing she told him. She said, "Stand up, for those who can't defend themselves." Who would that be? That would be for children. That would be those with special needs. That would be for concerning abortion. You know, Eisenhower said this, "Evil prevails when good men do nothing." Listen, men, we're called to step up. There's some wise advice from this king's mother. You know, just as with any good mother, She starts off by giving her son wise advice. Here are some modern proverbs I've gotten from different mothers through the years. One, if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. Don't cry over spilt. Treat others as you would want to be treated. Life is not fair. All right, y'all got that one. Clean your room or the bugs will make a home. You'll shoot your eye out. Yes. Close that door. We don't live in a... Money doesn't grow on... What if everyone was jumping off the cliff? What would you do? Maybe. I'm not your best friend. I'm your mama. Pretty is pretty. If a man doesn't love you enough to marry you, then he doesn't love you enough. Believe half of what you hear, half of what you... Yeah. Attitude is a choice. And this is my least favorite one of all because I heard it a lot. Wait until your father gets home. Yes, yes. Did not like that one. Why do wise women give advice? Why? Proverbs tells us. Proverbs 14:1, it tells us, a wise woman builds her home, but a foolish woman tears it down with her own hands. Ladies, if you wonder how valuable you are to God, to your family, to your husband, whether he tells you or not, a wise woman builds her home. And what we see here, starting in verse 10, we see how a virtuous woman does this. Notice with me in verse 10. Who can find a virtuous and capable wife? She is more precious than rubies. Ladies, you are more precious than rubies. Don't let anyone else tell you that you are not. Her husband can trust her, and she will greatly enrich his life. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She finds wool and flax and busily spins it. She's like a merchant ship, finding her food from afar. She gets up before dawn to prepare breakfast for her household and plan the day's work for her servant girls. She goes off to inspect a field and buys it. She, with her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She is energetic and strong, a hard worker. She makes her dealings are profitable. Her lamp burns late into the night. Her hands are busy spinning thread. Her fingers twisting fiber. She extends a helping hand to the poor and opens her arms to the needy. She has no fear of the winter for her household, for everyone has warm clothes. She makes her own bedspreads. She dresses in fine linen and purple gowns. Her husband is well known in the city gates, where he sits with other civic leaders, and she makes belted linen garments and sashes to sell to the merchants. She is clothed with the strength and dignity, and she laughs without fear of the future. And when she speaks, her words are wise and gives instructions with kindness. She carefully watches everything in her house and suffers nothing from laziness. What we see is godly mothers, they are diligent. And here we see the question asked, who can find a virtuous and capable wife? Listen, you can't find one, but with God's help. With God's help, you can't find one. Upon depending upon the Lord, you can. Ladies, mamas, as you read this, I want you to know something. You cannot be a virtuous woman on your own. You need God's help. You need God's help. Your family needs God's help. You need it to depend upon in your marriage and in your family. You need the Lord. And if you try to do it upon your own strength, and it's so easy to do, isn't it? As a father or as a mother, it is so easy to say, you know what? I am strong. I am capable. And it's not that you say to God, God, I don't need your help. You get in the flow and the motion of things, and we so easily can forget. We get worn out. We get too tired. We get overworked. And we realize we've been trying to lead your family, to be the virtuous woman on your own, and you can't. And this list here is not to discourage, but to encourage what God desires for you to grow to be. This passage gives us a picture of a woman of strong character, of great wisdom, of many skills, and great compassion. Some have the idea that the ideal woman is domestic. This woman is not. Whether you're a stay-at-home mom or a mom that works, this virtuous woman is a role model. Here we see that she is a manufacturer. She's an importer. She's a manager. She's a realtor. She's a farmer. She's a seamstress, a poster. A merchant. She is highly, highly skilled. Let me tell you, the Bible, it lifts up. It lifts up women, whereas the world objectifies women. The world says a lady has to look this way or that way. And most of the magazines in which you see a woman on, they're usually almost always photoshopped. It's not even of that real person. You probably have seen those videos on YouTube or maybe on Facebook. There was a Dove commercial years ago that was on TV, and it showed the original picture of the model, and it showed how they did the makeup, and then how they presented her and took the pictures, and then how they changed it and how they photoshopped it all on that picture. But notice, in all this virtuous woman, not once is it mentioned what she looks like. It's not mentioned once. You see, her strength and her dignity do not come from her looks. It comes from her faith. Being a Proverbs 31 woman is not about being perfect. It's about living a life with purpose, diligence, and forgiveness and repentance. You see, the greatest thing, ladies, that you can teach your daughter is not how to put on makeup, but the makeup of a godly woman. Hard work over laziness. To put on righteousness rather than the right clothes. To value modesty over popularity. To remind her that she is beautiful and wonderfully made in the sight of God. When it comes to being the person God is calling us to be, we need His faith. God rewards our diligence. He rewards those who seek to put Him first in their lives. You see, God wants to see diligence. See, in fact, Hebrews tells us in Hebrews 11, it says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him." Notice this: "For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder for those who" what? "Diligently seek Him." Let me ask you, mamas, are you diligently seeking God? Are you diligently seeking Him in your life? It's one thing just to have faith. That's good. But as James says, faith without works is dead. If the works doesn't save us, our faith and repentance saves us. But we see He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Are you seeking Him? It's also what we see. It's godly mothers. They fear God. Notice with me 28. "Her children stand and bless her. Her husband praises her. And there are many virtues and capable women in the world, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful. Beauty does not last. But a woman who fears the Lord will be greatly praised. Reward her for all that she has done, and let her deeds publicly declare her praise." Women who fear God have a virtuous, the virtue is mentioned here in Scripture. Who can find such a woman? We can with the Lord's help. Notice something here. Notice something. I think there's a connection here in verse 30. "Charm is deceitful. Beauty does not last. But a woman who" what? "Fears the Lord will be greatly praised." Now, there's things that I fear, and there's things I don't fear, and there's things I don't think about. When I go into a room and I switch on the lights, I know there's an electric there, but I don't think about it. I don't have a fear of it when I switch on the lights. But as you and I both know, that same electricity that powers the lights right here or in your home has the same capability of electrocuting me in the right situation. And so, do I fear electricity? Sure I do. Sure I do. I do fear it. But ladies and gentlemen, when it comes to God, there should be a fear of fearing the Lord. And I'm afraid in America today, our families are getting away from fearing God. And this is what I mean by fear, is that we need to fear God, but we don't need to live in fear. Just as with the light switch. I am fearful of electricity, but I don't live in fear in my home because I don't even think about switching on that light. I love the Lord. You love the Lord. I fear God, but I don't live in fear. You see, when you fear God, mamas and daddies, when you fear God, there's things that you won't allow your family to do that other families maybe that want nothing to do with God do. There may be places you don't go because you fear God. There may be places that you go because you love your husband or you love your wife. You make decisions based upon the instruction of the Word of God to you. You make the decision to be faithful in church because you know your children need to learn and know the Word of God. You know that in your family, you pray over your meals because you want to recognize and realize that not everyone in the world has a meal just as good as the one you're going to eat here at lunchtime. 80% of the world will not eat the way you're going to eat at lunch. Think about that. 80% of the world. We are blessed. We are blessed. And as soon as America stops fearing God, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. And I'm thankful that there are still many people who fear God. We don't have to live in fear, but we should fear God. So notice, charm is deceitful. Beauty does not last. It's not saying beauty is not important. It is. But it's saying, listen, if you value beauty over character, you're going to be disappointed because character will last. Beauty will fade away. But a woman who fears the Lord, you want to be praised. You want to be praised as you grow up in age? Fear the Lord. Amen? Fear the Lord. And you will be praised for that good. How so? Man, I tell you, my grandmothers, they're still alive. One's 84 and one's 85. I love them. But just as with you and your grandparents and your mothers, you think back of things in which they cook and you praise them, don't you? You praise them for their loving touch. You praise them for the times that you needed that encouraging word in your life at the right time and encouraged you. It helped you. And so I want you to today, go and praise that mama that you have. Go love on her today because she's loved on you. She's helped you. Be that blessing to her and take care of your mama. There's some folks today, they can't call their mom today. And maybe today is a little hurtful for you. I feel for you. And if they had a chance to call their mother, they would. Make sure you call your mama today. Make sure you love on her today. And just as was mentioned before, every good and perfect gift comes from above. Thank God for our mothers. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we love you.
Thank you for listening to today's sermon. To find out more about Southside Baptist and our ministry, visit our website at southsidenow.church. Until we meet again, have a great week.